RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Campers Inn. To find your family's next RV, visit campersinn.com.
And by the Good Sam Auto and RV Club. For a special membership offer, visit goodsam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas. And by RV Trader. To sell your RV, go to rvtrader.com/sell and enter RVFTA5OFF to receive a special offer. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at rvfamilytravelatlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are tackling the issue of teens, tweens, and their technology. Carrie Cox of Travels with Birdie recently wrote an article on the topic for the JCO Journal. We thought it was insightful and 100% on point, so we asked her to come on the show and share her advice with our listeners.
Plus, the Great RV Vacuum Quest of 2016 has wrapped up and Stephanie is ready to share the results. Are you trying to keep your RV as dust-free as possible? The struggle is real, folks, but we are here to help. Stephanie has three RV vacuum recommendations at three different price points, so no matter what your budget, there is an option here for you.
You might think your teen's eyeballs are surgically attached to the bright glow of their gadgets, but we know that there is always room for compromise in the world of family travel. You are listening to episode number 89, Unplugging Teens and Tweens for RV Travel with our special guest, Carrie Cox.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Unplugging Teens and Tweens for RV Travel with special guest Carrie Cox, it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Progressive Insurance.
Now, your RV is very different from your car, and that's why you need to get a specialized RV insurance coverage policy instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. You can call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info.
Thank you, Progressive. So, Stephanie, you had a pretty fun weekend last weekend, a really special weekend, right? You went on a girl camping trip with Janine Pettit.
I did. I went and I camped like a girl in West Virginia, Blackwater Falls State Park in West Virginia. Janine was hosting one of her Camp Like a Girl events. This one was called Go Girl Go because some of them have names and themes.
Crazy
apparently.
Hat party, right?
Yeah, like Go Dog Go. So this was over 45 girl campers descended on Blackwater Falls State Park for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I was going really feeling like, okay, I want to go and I want to help out Janine. It's a lot to put on, you know, an event like this with this many people. And, you know, a lot of these women were new to girl camping. This was not your typical Sisters on the Fly event where, you know, a lot of them have been doing it for years and there may be a few newbies. I mean, this was so many women who were trying this out for the first time. And the reason they were doing that was because Janine just simply inspires women to do things.
I was just going to say, are you suggesting that Janine inspires women to buy RVs in great numbers?
I'm suggesting that she inspires women, period.
Yeah, she does.
That's what she does.
And that's what she does.
Yeah.
And honestly, Janine inspires women to buy RVs. Yeah. She does.
Well, and there were examples of that there at Camp Like a Girl. There were a few women who towed for their very first time, you know, and I'm not going to say anybody's names on our show because I just didn't like ask permission to or whatever. And I don't want to, but I do want to say that I was blessed. I mean, I just felt so blessed to meet so many of our listeners, which I was not expecting at all. It was so funny. I was going there with this mentality that this was a girl camper event and I'm going to go and I'm going to help Janine because she's got a lot of, you know, plates spinning at this event. And here I show up And all of these women are like, oh my gosh, I listened to you. And I was totally caught off guard. But I want to tell you one of the most, like, just amazing stories that I heard probably within 15 minutes of being there. One of the women who was there, she had towed her trailer there for the very first time. And somebody was asking her, well, like, how did you decide to, you know, or how did you hear about Girl Camper? How did you get into this? So she says, my husband has been a listener of RVFTA for years. And he knew, heard that there was this new show, Girl Camper. And he said, you have to listen to this show. So then she started listening to Girl Camper. And she starts thinking, this is amazing. I can do this. And then she starts thinking what? No, I can't. I can't tow. Do you know what her husband did? He took her on a test run to Blackwater Falls State Park. I mean,
that's pretty adorable.
It's, you know what? It's not adorable. That's awesome. Like, that is an awesome husband, right? Like, supportive, like, just knowing his wife, like, this will be good for her and she'd love to do
this.
I think
he thinks he's going to get some camping trips out of it, too.
Well, you know what? Maybe, or maybe he's just really a nice guy, Jer. I mean, maybe this is just a good guy. Like, I just want to give him anonymously, he knows who he is, a shout out because
he took
her and they did the whole test run so that she would feel comfortable towing.
You know, now that you kind of say this story, like the idea of towing for the first time and showing up in an event with 45 other people would be nerve-wracking to me more than just going on your first camping trip alone.
Yeah.
Because there's just all these people around that you're going to be hanging out with all weekend. So if you knock out a tree or you run into somebody's RV or something, it's just like more of a drama.
Yeah. So there was women there that had just bought trailers like that, and they had bought trailers after listening to Janine. Then there were quite a few women there who don't have campers yet at all.
Oh, but they will. I'm telling you, they will.
And they're looking at them and they're looking for that. And so one of the events that we did at Go Girl Go was a camper college. And Janine had been planning all along to do a camper college while we were down there, right? Because it's the perfect opportunity. Hey, a bunch of women are here. Let's go through all this stuff
but
for the newbies.
But you had a special guest star.
Well, so Girl Camper gets the COO of Go Little Guy, Chris Baum.
Little Guy Worldwide, the mm-hmm. makers of the Tab and the Tag.
Right. You guys know those little teardrop campers, right? Those little cuties, right? Chris Baum, he hooks up one of those little teardrops, one of those little tags to the back of his Jeep and comes down to Go Girl Go. And he ran a camper college on Saturday morning.
I heard it was like packed, informative. It was really long. He really took his time with everybody too, right?
Yeah, well, he did a brief camper college outside, but then it started pouring rain. That was the one thing that wasn't perfect about the event was we did have rough weather. But everyone poured inside the cabins that were right there and just like crammed into a room. And it turned into a lot of like Q&A, right? About trailers and tabs and tags and all of those. And like just kind of what they were coming out with next. It was a really, it was a Q&A
session. I think this would be an exciting time to announce that Little Guy Worldwide is coming on to sponsor the Girl Camper podcast, and we couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah, we are. We just think it's a really ideal match.
Match made in heaven.
Janine's audience, because it is a match, right? They are great girl campers. And I took a picture. If you want to go on Instagram and look at our gallery, there's a picture. I did like a collage of all these girl campers. There must have been four tabs in that collage that I did.
Yeah.
And it's just so accessible to these women, you know, in general. You just feel like I can tow it with what I own. It's easy.
Yeah, I mean, women are towing them with Volvos and even Subarus, mm-hmm. Volvos.
Yep, a Subaru can tow
a Jeep,
it. Yep, an Outback.
Like that, small SUV.
Yeah, so
they're very lightweight.
Really, really girl friendly, you know, girl camper friendly. And we were happy to have them. We had a blast. It was a marvelous time. And like I said, I was just blessed to meet so many of our listeners. I wasn't expecting to meet our listeners, and I did. It was like, oh my gosh, there's all these people
you really
out
enjoyed
there.
That.
They were so kind. I mean, honestly, these are just like giving souls who are just willing to compliment you. And it's like, wow, that's nice to hear. You know, we sit here behind these microphones all the time, and you get out there and people are just saying like, oh, I love this. And when you say, you know, this helped me and this was my favorite episode, and it means a lot. It really does.
Yeah. I spent the weekend with the boys.
That meant a lot too.
You want to know what we did? You know.
You ate junk food.
We didn't eat junk food. We ate out every meal. And on Sunday when lunchtime rolled around, Max said, Dad, we need to eat out again because you can't cook.
Did he really?
That's what he said.
Yeah, he said, you can't do
this. And then I took him to the same place that we had lunch the day before, mm-hmm. like a cool restaurant in our town, which I thought would be a nice treat. And Max was like, Dad, we were here yesterday. We can't go here again.
You know, yeah, he was feeling picky about the whole
thing. Yeah, he wanted like a different restaurant every meal. But we were thrilled you got to
go. They like their home-cooked meals. I'm going to say that the boys. They actually like a home-cooked meal.
On our RV trips as well.
Yeah, they
do. Who did Girl Camper have on her show this week? Because she also had a really interesting guest that kind of sprung out of this whole Girl Camper event.
Yeah, while we were down there, I met, and Janine did too, Lynn Butler, who owns an RV dealership there in West Virginia. So Janine interviewed her while we were down there for the show this week. And Lynn Butler doesn't own the RV dealership with her husband. It's hers. She bought it from her mama.
Yeah,
and her mama ran the RV dealership.
It's one of my favorite interviews because it's really interesting. I mean, she just gets into the nuts and the bolts and the complexities and the challenges of running an RV dealership. And she's got, you know, she's humorous, she's fun, mm-hmm. she's smart.
Smart
lady. I hope she's back on the show at some point.
Yeah, she was really great. I mean, I enjoyed meeting her so much, and I was glad that Janine got her voice onto the show. Truly the voice of somebody inside the industry and a girl camper. Wow, how about
Excellent.
That?
Now, what did we run for campground of the week this week?
So this is a big one, people, because the Grand Canyon is the second most visited NPS site in the country.
About 5 million visitors per year. Great Smoky
we
Mountains
know
gets about 10 million.
We have listeners that are planning on visiting the Grand Canyon either this year or in the future. This is one of the trickiest trips to plan. The Grand Canyon is very difficult to plan because of the crowds and the lack of access. In some ways, it's a difficult park to access.
There are not that many campground options, and a bunch of them are about an hour away.
Right. So this week, we had on Kate Dunbar from Kate's Curious Kitchen, and Kate reviewed the Grand Canyon Railway RV Park, which is in Williams, Arizona. And she did a phenomenal review because she also reviews Williams, which is a legendary stop along Route 66. So,
right. And she did a really great job with that too. Like, if you're going to the Grand Canyon, you should make that part of your trip.
Yeah. And she really points out some of the complexities, the benefits of having the train there to take in, because it's, you know, goes right in from this RV park, but then also, you know, the complexities of maybe spending a night in the park, perhaps. Like, so she really goes through that and makes a lot of, I thought, fantastic suggestions.
I think just listening to this episode, you're going to have just about everything you need to plan your own trip.
Yeah, it's really a good one. I would definitely listen to it if you plan on going to the Grand Canyon in the future at all.
Great.
Wealth of information.
Now, our forum thread of the week was all about tire blowouts.
Well, no, yeah, and I picked this one because Ginny McKinney is a girl camper, okay?
Smart.
She has been on Girl Camper a few times. Lovely
guest.
She's
been in the New York Times.
Yeah, she's been a guest on the show, and a really great voice, wonderful addition to the Girl Camper movement. And she got home and posted on Instagram. We follow her on Instagram, and we saw she posted
and
she had a
Marshmallow
tire.
And she's Marshmallow Ranch, mm-hmm. I think, on Facebook and Instagram.
She had a tire blowout on her way home, okay? And she said the whole thing that happened, and then she said, I got tire religion. I'm gonna start.
Well, we always say that most people are pretty careless with their tire pressure until they have a blowout. And I'll kind of admit that was me, you know, like it took that first blowout to really get religious about checking the air pressure in the tires on every traveling day. It takes extra time, you know, it's a little bit of a nuisance, but it's all about safety. So we, you know, to all of our listeners, you want to get some little tire pressure gauge. And on a traveling day, you want to be checking your air pressure because it can fluctuate.
Right. And you check it cold. You check it before you drive. You know, Mark Polk has taught us all that. You don't check your tire pressure after you've driven for a little while because that's not an accurate read. So do that before you have a blowout, because you're going to have a blowout at some point if you do not pay attention to your tire pressure.
And, you know, too, it also, that first blowout makes you think a lot more about how much stuff you're cramming into the RV and if you're putting in too much weight and maybe not balancing it correctly. So avoid that blowout if you can.
We had a forum member. He had posted asking, it's a newbie, and he didn't, you know, he was just asking. He hasn't had a blowout, but he said, oh, should I get emergency roadside assistance or do people change tires themselves? And there was a lot of really good responses to this. I encourage you to go check this out, because you did hear from people who do change the tires themselves and who have, and there's some equipment that is recommended in that forum thread. Now, that makes me very nervous. And in fact, you did change the tire that first time you had it off, right? You had it jacked up.
Yeah, I mean, I can, I'm not trying to sound like a manly man here, but yeah, I can change the tire now.
But I would like to add that I really feel like that can be dangerous on the side of a road unless you really have a good pull off and everything.
Particularly if it's a tire that's on the side of the road. If it's on the other side, you know, less to worry about. But
I just feel like safety first. That makes me very nervous. But anyway, so the two biggest takeaways of the thread for me after reading down through it was that you really do need to have a reliable roadside assistance plan. Don't assume because you have it on your car or your truck that your trailer is covered. It is not. You need to have roadside assistance for your trailer.
You need to know before you go. Yeah. You don't want to find out while you're out there on the side of the road.
Yeah. So, you know, make sure that that's covered, because I see posts from people freaking out that they didn't have coverage that they thought they had. But something that we've learned is you have to know what you have. That's your responsibility.
Let me throw in one extra tip here. And I don't remember if this came up on the forum. You also want to check the tire pressure on your spare.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's important too, because if you have a blowout and then you're putting on a tire where you haven't checked the air pressure in 2 years, the pressure's not going to be right. It's not going to be good. So check that extra spare tire too. Make sure that you got good air pressure in that one.
And then the last thing that came up was Tatiana said that they always carry emergency flares. And she said that they found them incredibly important a couple of times to be able to put out the flares. And that was a takeaway for me.
I think that's a great idea. We should get them and just not let the kids know we have them.
It's because, not something you share.
Yeah, the boys will use them at the campground for something else.
All right. So the link to this forum thread is going to be in the show notes. If you want to go on, you want to see the different people recommended certain jacks that they really like to help them, et cetera, you can go on and you can look at them. You can also add your 2 cents about tire safety in that thread. I want to say that this is an exact example of why we started this forum, because there was no hijacking of this question. When this gentleman asked this question, he received sincere, clear, simple responses. And let me tell you something, if you go out on that world wide web and you look at questions about tire pressure,
people get nasty.
They get downright nasty.
They're telling you you're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
And exactly. And so there was
none of
that.
The tire pressure experts out there.
And I want to thank our listeners and our forum members for being so civil. We haven't had to kick anyone off yet.
Except the occasional spam bot.
Yeah, the spam bots had to get kicked off, but no real person.
Can you just imagine that spam even finds its way into the RVFTA forum in this world? Listen, we're going to come back in a second, and we're going to introduce Carrie Cox. Not that she needs an introduction to RVFTA fans, but we're just going to kind of get you set up with what we're going to be talking about with her, unplugging teens and tweens for RV travel. Before we introduce Carrie Cox, we want to say thank you to Good Sam for sponsoring RVFTA. Good Sam's a great way to save money, isn't it, Stephanie?
We do every single year. Yeah, every single camping season, we save a lot of money using our Good Sam card. You get, 10% off?
At Good Sam Parks, and there's thousands of them, and we make our money back right there just on that one aspect of the Good Sam card, getting 10% off at Good Sam Campgrounds.
Yeah, well, you know what? Our listeners don't even have to make their money off, of a couple of different nights.
We spoil them, and Good Sam spoils
them. They get a special deal. Because if you go to goodsam.com/RVFamily, Family Travel Atlas. Your membership cost will be $25, but you will also get a camping coupon that has a value of $25. So right then and there, you will get back the money you spent on membership, and then everything else for the rest of this year will be gravy.
So I think last time we said, like, there's a transaction, but it's free at the end of the day. And there's other ways to save money with Good Sam, too. You save at Camping World. You save on fuel at Pilot Flying J. With your membership, they give you a couple of free issues of either Trailer Life or Motorhome. And guess what?
We're in there.
We write articles for Trailer Life.
We got a few coming up.
We've got three coming up in the next year. If you subscribe to Trailer Life, and you get a discount on a full subscription. So if you subscribe to Trailer Life or Motorhome, or rather, if you subscribe to Trailer Life, you're going to get some articles by us.
Yeah.
And Motorhome's great, too. I subscribe to both.
And the camping coupons, the Camping World coupons are good, even if you're not like a big spender like me, because sometimes when you get those camping coupons, you go off and buy like practical things like toilet paper.
Yeah, sometimes you get those coupons. I'll just go buy some toilet paper.
So we need the RV toilet paper, so we'll go get it with the coupon. And,
right, so
and
again,
save some money.
Give them the website again.
All right, so it is goodsam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas, and you will get that special discount.
Hey, and follow them on Instagram too. Good Sam's on Instagram now.
Oh, yeah,
check them out.
You tagged them in one of our posts this week. All right, so this week we wanted to reach out to Carrie and we asked her to come on to the show to talk about an article that she recently published on the JCO Journal.
And that's blog.jco.com. They have completely sort of refreshed and revitalized the blog there, and there's lots of great content, including this piece by Carrie Cox. I work with teenagers every day, but I see them just in that context. I'm not raising teenagers right now. So in a sense, like, teenagers do feel like strangers in a strange land to me to some degree when I'm thinking about traveling with them or parenting them, even though I see them every day in the context of the classroom. And so, yeah, I was inspired by her article, and I think I picked up on some really good tips that I'll carry forward into our boys' teenage years, which are pretty far away if we make it that far.
You know what, though? I think, like I said, I think that so many of her pieces of advice can be applied downstream also. You can start, you know, using these principles in the ways that you're interacting with your kids from a much younger age than
100%.
Just teens and teens.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So, and I felt the same way. When I was reading this article, I was reminded of the discussion that we had had with Larissa Richardson when I interviewed her for her first the RV makeover. And she was talking about how her kids, you know, her teenagers, sometimes they're whiny. Sometimes they're like, oh, you're going to go on another hike. Come on, mom, you know? And she was like, I'm going to get through this. Like, we're doing this.
And
as
not
a
just
family.
Am I going to get through this. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be wonderful. And I'm not going to let that moment of their complaint keep us down. And they're going to love it too.
Yeah. And, right? and you know, Larissa really testifies to that. And I think Carrie does too, you know, not in a pie in the sky way, in a super honest, super refreshing, you know, perspective that I think is just encouraging to parents. So let's kick it to Carrie Cox.
Let's throw it to Carrie Cox. Why don't we?
Hey, Carrie, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Carrie. Great. Now that we're talking to you.
Good.
I know. It's so great to have you back on RVFTA. We've just been hanging out over on Campground of the Week.
That's right.
Carrie's been slumming it over on Campground of the Week.
Yeah, it's been fun to share all of our favorite spots.
Well, we have enjoyed listening to all of your favorite spots and campground reviews over there. But after we read your article on sort of those tips and tricks for helping parents unplug their teens and their tweens, we knew that we had to have you on to talk to all of our listeners, because we just know that this is such a big struggle. It's such a big concern for parents, and you had some marvelous, fantastic thoughts about it. So thanks for joining us.
And we're personally very frightened about our children becoming teenagers, so we're hoping in some way you can comfort us.
That's right. Even though they're sometimes at a difficult age, they also do so many wonderful, brilliant things at that age, so we can't overlook that.
Yes, and that's why we love to have your voice on here to remind us of that, and we can just internalize it by the time we get to that stage in life. Yeah. All right, now our listeners, most of them have probably heard your story. They've heard you on our podcast before, but we have some newbies that may not kind of know your little backstory, and you have teens and you have a teen and a tween, but you haven't raised them RVing, right?
That's right. We had gone on a couple of trips with my in-laws and fell in love and wanted one of our own. And we spent the summer of 2014 kind of going back and forth, like, should we get one? Should we not? We can't really afford it. And then there was this moment where I just said, you know, we can't afford not to. Our boys are getting older. I knew our boy, who's now a teen, it's not going to be long before he's driving and having summer jobs and summer activities of his own. And, you know, our summers are limited. So that was the push that made us decide, now's the time. We are going to do this.
Now, in the article, you talk a bit about sort of how technology crept, you know, into your household and into your life as a family. Would you share a little bit about that with our audience?
That's right. Our boys are really, really into technology. In the good things, my older son loves computers, and he can do a lot of really great, intricate things. But then they also spend a lot of time just doing really time-wasting things on video games and that kind of thing. And so there would be times when we would all be together in the house, but the house would be quiet. We would all be in separate rooms, all looking at separate screens and just not really interacting as a family. So I really wanted to kind of turn that tide and figure out what are the things that we can do and enjoy as a family.
Now, how do your boys feel about the outdoors in general? You mentioned they like technology, but do they also sort of have a appreciation for being outside, or is that a struggle too?
And honestly, that's kind of a love-hate, right? My older son, he's a little more into it, a little more into the traveling and willing to try things. But my younger son really, you know, we'll hike this great hike to see a waterfall, and he's like, oh, we walked 2 miles to see that. You know, he's not into that. That's just, it doesn't float his boat. So it's kind of that struggle of finding out what things are going to get them excited. Because I think sometimes people just assume, oh yeah, kids are going to love this. They're going to love traveling. They're going to love going outdoors and hiking, going to national parks. But the truth is, our boys kind of, you know, they'd rather stay at home. They'd rather stay in contact with their friends and do their things that they enjoy. And so we kind of have to find those ways to force them to do it and turn it into an awesome experience.
Now, Carrie, as a high school teacher, I know that sometimes teenagers say things that they don't mean. For instance, in my over a decade in the classroom, I've realized our students always complain when classes are hard, but they end up liking their hard teachers more than anybody else at the end of the year because they felt challenged by them. So are they just saying these things, or is there really like this deep-seated, like, I don't really care about this waterfall? Or do you think that secretly he's like, this is an awesome waterfall, but I'm not telling mom?
There's a little bit of both, honestly. So yeah, my older boy the other day, it was kind of funny. He had an event going on at his school, and he knew I was going to be right down the hill at the track at the bottom of the hill, and I could come up to this event. And he told me the night before, you don't need to come up and say hi to me, mom. That's okay. So I went up to the event anyway, and I saw him. I kind of gave a half wave, but I didn't invade his territory. So then that night he comes home and he says, why didn't you come tell me hello? Like, because you told me not to. You explicitly told me not to. So I think with teenagers, yeah, they say things and they don't always mean what they say. You can't take them at their first word.
You're always reading the tea leaves, right?
That's right.
Okay, so you guys decided to get that RV. And how long ago was that?
So we got it late in the summer of 2014 and did a couple of short trips that year. And then last year, 2015, was our first big year of RVing.
Where did you go?
We did a 25-day epic road trip across Southwest United States and over to California, to Yosemite and Sequoia and San Francisco, and saw a lot of really cool stuff along the way. Epic.
So what were some of the challenges that you faced with them?
The boys did often ask, you know, does the campground have Wi-Fi? And we learned very early in the trip that campgrounds do tell you they have Wi-Fi when they don't. I mean, it's really kind of a crapshoot of whether or not they actually have Wi-Fi.
So campgrounds are like teenagers.
They are.
They say one thing, but yet they mean another.
Yes. So we kind of discovered that early on. And my older son, it's okay because he has a phone, so he has a data plan. But for the younger son, this became a point of contention because he had an iPod that he needed the Wi-Fi in order to do the stuff that he wanted to do. And so we kind of had these, you know, little bit of tips of, is there Wi-Fi, is there not? Can, you know, mom hotspot or data plan to Sam? And kind of just you know, trying to work all of that out to keep everyone content without paying a massive data bill and without staying plugged in on the whole trip. I mean, we wanted them, we weren't on this trip so that they could look at their screens. We were on this trip so that they could see the national parks and see these great cities and experience life on the road. So we just kind of wanted to find that balance of doing things we all enjoy.
Now, you created this great article for the JCO Journal for their blog, and you kind of gave these four major pieces of advice for making this type of family road trip work in an RV with kids who like their technology and parents who want to see America and get out there and do hikes and do everything else. So let's walk through those four big tips that you gave us. The first one is to indulge them. And this might seem a little counterintuitive, so explain.
That's right. I think it works really well to know that it is okay to plug in sometimes. I mean, we weren't going on this 25-day trip to be Amish and totally disconnect and nobody can look at a screen. You know, we didn't have a television with us. We didn't have video games with us. But we did want to give the boys some time to connect. And the cool thing is sometimes they were connecting in order to share photos that they took. You know, they both are into Instagramming their pictures. And so they were doing some kind of productive things sometimes with it. And so we just kind of had to figure out when were those times that we wanted to indulge. You know, often it was back at the campground, but sometimes it was at a restaurant. I know there were times that there were families in restaurants who looked at us and scoffed and were like, oh, look at that family. You know, they're all looking at their screens. They're not even talking to each other. But they didn't know we had just spent 8 hours in a car together, or 8 hours in a national park together. And that was kind of our time to go ahead and indulge in the screens.
So banning it completely just doesn't make sense for, you know, for most families or for a modern family, particularly, like you said, if you're out all day hiking and having fun and exploring, you know, what's the big deal with letting them check their email and stay in tune with all their friends? I mean, you don't want them to develop a severe case of FOMO while on the road, because because then they're not going to want to be out on the road.
That's right. It reinforces their idea that this is a crummy thing to do. We don't want to do it. So we just tried to find those times when we were all like, okay, let's do it. You know, and on our way in and out of Yosemite, there was one spot where we could get Wi-Fi. We couldn't get it at our campground. We couldn't get it in Yosemite. And we would pull over at this little spot, and it happened to have beautiful pine trees. And I have great memories of hanging out at that picnic table while we all looked at our screens. You know, so that was still family time, even though we were indulging in our digital devices.
Did you kind of give them an idea ahead of time when you planned on indulging them, just so that you weren't like harassed? Because sometimes that's how I feel, like if I don't give a clear, like, at this time we'll do it, I'll be like, you know, it's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And did it become a reward? Was it sort of like, if you're good on the hike, or is that coming from me with little kids? That kind
of thing? Yeah, we didn't use that as much, but it was definitely when we were able to say, hey, you know, if we get through this day, I know there's a pizza place up the road where we can get the Wi-Fi tonight, or, you know, so we did kind of let them know when we knew. Sometimes we really didn't know. I mean, Sam would often ask, is the next campground going to have Wi-Fi? And we really didn't know. You know, we just said, it says it does. We'll see when we get there, you know. And so that was kind of very exciting for him every time we actually got to a campground that had good Wi-Fi. And yes, you know, so that was kind of, we pull in a parking lot, and while I go in to get registered, the boys are always already trying to get on the Wi-Fi to see if it's unblocked and if they can get on.
Now, from your perspective, you know, carving out some time in the evening and, you know, you're indulging them. Did they feel indulged? Was it enough for them, or did they want more than what they were getting on a daily basis?
They'd probably always want more. Yeah. And I think especially for my youngest, he would have really liked it if it worked in the car, you know, but sometimes we would have a 6-hour day of driving, and I just wasn't going to hotspot him for 6 hours. So, you know, that was kind of his grumble. But we try, you know, sometimes he could do things that didn't actually involve Wi-Fi. You know, he could play some games that weren't Wi-Fi. And you just try to find those different things.
So you're saying, like, the license plate game doesn't work with teenagers?
Not so much. We did make them do that. So the summer before I left, I had a printable, and I was like, all right, we're going to spot off. So it doesn't thrill them quite as much, but you can still force them to.
Do your kids beat each other up in the backseat like our kids do?
They do. Now, we live, we're really lucky. We live 7 minutes from the boys' school, and we work at my younger son's school. And so sometimes we're only in the car for 7 minutes, and my boys would get in such vicious fights that I would sometimes pull over before we got home. It was just like, I'm not driving. You know, if you two are going to be back there screaming and brawling, I'm not driving this car. So when we set out on this journey to California that we knew was going to involve at least like 60 hours of driving by the time we drive to the coast and back and all the driving we do while we're there, I was like, what are we thinking? You know, these two kids, they're maniacs sometimes in the car. But, you know, we realized on the trip they were actually really, really good in the backseat. And I think that part of their trouble in the backseat when we're driving home from school is just that they're tired. They're tired and grumpy. So they both really did well in the car. I was super pleased. My husband's Toyota FJ Cruiser just has a tiny back seat and it doesn't have very big windows, you know, so it's not even an ideal road trip car. And the boys did great.
You're giving me hope. I love your second tip. Let's move into that one. Include them. What do you mean by that?
That's right. So next summer, had been talking about going to Colorado because I kind of thought after this epic road trip, we needed to go and just kind of hang out someplace and relax and do a little hiking, but without all the driving. And my younger son heard me and he's like, oh, mountains and waterfalls. You know, he is not into mountains and waterfalls. And so I was like, well, what excites you? What do you want to do, Sam? And he said, I want to see something that someone built, like the Empire State Building or Mount Rushmore. So, you know, my husband and I aren't quite ready to drive to New York City with the travel trailer. And so, you know, I was like, Mount Rushmore, I'm in. We can do that. Like, we can do that. And so sometimes it just means letting them tell you what some of those activities are that will excite them.
And, you know, and you actually canceled your Colorado reservations, right? I mean, this trip was pretty mapped out. So when you say include them, you really did. You were willing to make a left turn for your kids to have an exciting trip.
That's right. And I hadn't actually, you know, paid money and put reservations in, but we had picked a campground and we're pretty far down that road. And then, you know, he mentioned Mount Rushmore and I was like, hey, you know, Yellowstone probably would be a lot more exciting to them than Yosemite, because it has kind of things that I think boys will think, oh, that's pretty cool, mud pots and geysers and stuff. So we decided to tack Yellowstone on and do that kind of Western trip. So we just kind of, it's weird too when they look back on what things they say they enjoy. We went on a trip with their grandparents to Colorado when they were about 5 years ago and they're quite a bit younger. But Sam's favorite thing was there was a putt-putt golf place in the campground. And so if you ask him about Colorado, his memory is the putt-putt golf. So sometimes you just kind of have to figure out what are those little things that they're going to enjoy. And you try to balance and add some of those things in.
And I really relate it to this section, Carrie, because I think that we started doing it, I mean, maybe when our boys were as young as 4. So I think it's something that for our RV audience that has younger kids also, you can start doing this very early on. And I know we've talked with other parents that give each of their kids like a big bucket list activity that they're allowed to pick before they go any place. And they say, what is the one thing you really want to do? Or for us, you mentioned going into Gatlinburg in mm-hmm. the Smokies. And it's the same thing for us. We give them like the theme park experience, you know, everywhere we
That's
go.
Right. That's right. They're out of the Smokies. Their favorite memory is those alpine sleds. So, you know, you just have to figure out what are some of those things that'll get a kid in a teen and a tween. Sometimes, again, they're finicky, but ask them and sometimes they'll surprise you. Until I asked Sam, I wouldn't have known that he wanted to see Mount Rushmore, and that was pretty cool. I'm like, okay, we can do that.
One of Stephanie's friends, when she was a kid back in the 70s, her father handed the daughters the KOA catalog and said, where do you want to go? And I'm inspired by that because, I love my trip planning and I spend all winter with it. But I'm also excited with, like, you know, maybe one day saying, guys, where do you want to go? Wherever you want to go, we'll take you there. You know, I think that could be pretty cool.
That's right. And on our last trip, we were so frugal and mostly just did the national parks with our national parks pass. So we hadn't spent any money on entertainment. And so it's kind of okay sometimes to plan in those days. That's also kind of how we ended up floating. We floated down the Merced River through Yosemite. And that was, again, that was the kind of thing that the kids wanted to do. I probably wouldn't have paid money to do that. It wasn't high on my list. But then once we did it, I was like, oh, the kids are right. This was a great activity. And so we, you know, trying to find the activities that they'll enjoy are good.
All right. Now your third tip, I guess when things aren't going well, you recommend to ignore them. And I love this one too. So
this
tell us about ignoring. Yeah, I'm not good at this. When my kids whine, I have a really hard time ignoring them. I dig in.
All right, so preach, Carrie.
So, you know, even though we think, again, we're going on this epic journey, you should be super excited. you know, part of the psychology of kids that age is to not be super excited about things their kids, their parents are excited about. And so you just have to know that, you know, you might have had these great memories with playing with your little kids who wanted to play with you, and then they turn into teenagers who kind of don't want you around, but they actually do, but they can't say that. And so you just have to kind of sometimes ignore it and just not take it personally, because sometimes when they're being really grumpy, it can turn around super quickly. Last summer on our road trip, we were going to the Petroglyph National Monument, and we'd driven across the desert. It was hot. You know, we're all kind of tired. And I was like, no, we have to go, partly so we could get the passport stamped in our book of national parks. So we go, we get there, we hop out of the car, and then it's like 95 degrees and it's really hot. And the Petroglyph National Monument part that we were going to hike up is this tall, rocky mound. And I was like, oh, never mind. You guys are right. You know, we're not going to do this. And they both, you know, were scurrying up the mountain. So the kids who had been complaining and complaining and complaining about not wanting to do this, not wanting to get out of the car, all of a sudden they were halfway up the mountain. So you just have to ignore it and know that their moods will change, just like sometimes your mood, you know, you short circuit sometimes, and they do too.
Two things. There's a Jedi mind trick buried in what you just said. Like if you say, well, I don't want to do that, or that waterfall's ugly, all of a sudden maybe the kids will like it. Now, you talked about brains short circuiting. I want to read a line from your blog post here, and I want you to explain a little bit more. You wrote, first, realize teens often have little control of their moods as their brain chemistry starts short-circuiting, so you can't take it personally. Now, Carrie, is this scientific? Does this actually happen, the short-circuiting in the brain?
I think so. I think from my years of teaching, I think I read that somewhere. I think that it's true. And, you know, they have that that saying that, you know, you can fix any piece of technology by turning it off and turning it back on again. And I think the same thing is true for people. You just kind of have to unplug a while and try again.
Reboot.
And then reboot and then try again. And I know that's how my own moods are sometimes. And I know sometimes I'm being crabby and I can't help it. I've learned how to say that to my family and say, I know I'm being terrible. I can't help it. But your kids don't know how to say that yet. They don't have that language. They just know how to stay in that mood. So,
and they're also figuring out who they are, right?
Yes.
And in that process, they're going to take some, there's going to be some deviations even from how they want to behave, I suppose.
That's right.
Now, the next one, the last one, I think is the most important for all of us to remember, inspire them. So tell us more. How do you inspire teens and tweens to want to travel in the RV?
I think you just have to get out there and do it and find those things that are going to make them say, whoa, that was pretty cool. You know, and for us, it came in several different moments on our big trip. You know, we stood and looked at the Grand Canyon on the edge, but then it was also a night in at Rancho Sedona when the electricity went out. And I remembered we were out on the picnic table with a lantern light playing a card game, and a little dragonfly landed and we all looked at it. So it can be these big, massive moments, but it can also be the tiny family memories that inspire them and make them realize, okay, this was pretty awesome. And those things, again, even sometimes though they can't verbalize it at the time, I know that in the future, you know, these things are all in their bank and that they are going to look back and remember this road trip and remember these inspirational moments. And hopefully they'll be inspired to do that kind of thing with their kids.
Yeah. And I actually read an article in, I think it was like the New York Times or in magazine last year. And it was talking about the science of remembering your vacations and your time away. And it was actually really emphasizing that it doesn't matter if you have a good time because you'll remember it like you had a good time. And that was like a real like eye-opening experience because I realized that those little annoyances and grievances throughout a day of travel really honestly do. It's not just because we put pictures up on Instagram. Like in our memories, they melt away and we remember the highlights.
That's right. We just got a book that I made out of the photos from our Instagramming of we called it our Birdie Goes West trip. I just got a book of those and just holding that in my hand and looking at that journey and reliving it was really awesome this week. And so I hope my kids take that forward, and I know they will.
I know they will too. Are they pumped up for your upcoming summer adventures?
They are. So this summer we're heading to Mount Rushmore, as I mentioned, and then driving over to Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons. And my younger son, the one who wanted to see Mount Rushmore, also kind of thought it'd be cool to see dinosaur fossils. So we're making a stop at a dinosaur museum in Thermopolis, and then hopefully getting to hit some really cool, fun stuff along the way. I think that road trip, the roadside attractions are those fun things too, aside from the big things.
I think we have a family of blossoming photographers as well, right? From what I understand, you're going to be taking a lot of pictures this summer. We hope you do.
That's right. And that's, you know, one of those things that got both of the boys interested is, you know, they might be excited about looking at a waterfall, but they like to take pictures of a waterfall. So, you know, that's kind of fun. They both are into that, and we can take photo walks as a family and enjoy doing that.
Well, Carrie, I have to say that I saw that you had posted this blog on the JCO Journal, and I went over to read it. I was like, oh yeah, let me see this. And I, you know, it was more of a curiosity thing because obviously I'm not worried so much about unplugging teens and tweens, you know, during travel at this point in my life. And I just got to the end of this post and I was blown away. I think that you just really have such a voice of encouragement and inspiration for other parents out there also. So I really thank you for that. It was a great post, and you always have great thoughts to share.
And let's put something up on the forum about traveling with teens and tweens on our RV Family Travel Atlas forum. And if anybody else has any tips or nightmare stories you want to share, or if you just want to spend some time on our forum ignoring your kids, that's also a good idea.
Exactly.
And we'll see what everybody else has to say about traveling with teens and tweens, because we know that a lot of our listeners are doing that. And Carrie's going to be back on this podcast at some point after her big adventure this summer, and she's going to share some of her adventures in the national parks.
I know. I can't wait to hear it, Carrie.
Looking forward to it. I think we're going to hashtag this one, Birdies NPS 100, in celebration of the centennial.
I love it. And where can everybody find you on social media and the web?
You can find my blog at travels.birdie.com, and then I'm on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Okay. Carrie Cox, thank you so much for joining us. That was really, really interesting, really inspiring. I have a little bit more hope now.
It's not hopeless, I promise.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks for having me.
Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy four folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and three generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Carrie Cox. We sure enjoyed talking to her about camping with teens and tweens. It was an inspiring interview to me, and it made me more excited for those teen years that are coming up for us, where I have to admit, a little bit sort of maybe dreading the fact that when the boys get older, it's going to get harder to camp with them. But Carrie gives us all hope, I think. Now, we're going to jump into a review of some vacuums. And I just feel like this is a great pairing, like talking about like how messy it is raising teenagers and then like reviewing vacuums.
Clean it all up.
Yeah, I mean, look, you need a vacuum in the RV. That's the reality. It's not the sexiest product to buy, but we have always had a vacuum in the RV. And this year, you kind of wanted to get something better in there than like the handheld Dustbuster.
Oh, yeah, because I let you be in charge of getting the last one, and it was
It lasted
a
for a long time.
That is an awful Dustbuster. That's not on
it
this
didn't
list.
Used to, it got old. It didn't used to be an awful Dustbuster. At a certain point, it just didn't want to work as hard for us.
Yeah, it was not.
It was sick of like vacuuming them up like cereal and half sandwiches and jelly. And we make a vacuum work hard.
All right.
So Stephanie's been doing some serious vacuum research, and you found three products at three very different price points. And you do recommend all of these. And so there really hopefully is something for everybody here price-wise.
Yep. I have a cheap, a middle, and an expensive, bottom line. And so the story here is that I actually have had really good luck with vacuums. And in a way, it's kind of left me out of the, like, vacuum revolution.
We had that Sears vacuum.
We still have it.
You wanted, it still works.
You wanted
a Dyson years ago, and we couldn't afford one.
15 years ago.
Oh, my God.
It had to be 15 years ago. We were down in Manhattan.
And so we went to, and we read a review somewhere saying, oh, this Sears one is sort of like almost as good for a fraction of the price.
It was Consumer Reports gave this Kenmore its best value.
It was. That vacuum rocked. And I remember at one point it stopped working. And I was like, well, let me bring it to the vacuum shop. It'll probably be like $100 to fix it. I remember bringing it to a local vacuum shop.
Bucks.
It was, I think it was like 15.
Yeah.
And then we got like another 8 years out of it.
It's still going.
Can
I want to
say like
that.
An old crank and just say they don't make them like they used to.
Right. Well, the funny thing is I shouldn't complain, but this has caused me, I think a lot of people out there know this feeling. Like, this has caused me a little bit of consternation over the years because I don't have a reason to get any of these awesome vacuums that everybody's getting, because this vacuum 15 years ago is like your standard upright vacuum, bulky with like the, you know, attachments that sort of have that like
it looks
funny
like your
hose.
Mom's vacuum.
It does.
It does.
Exactly like it. And everybody
it's
has
plastic
these.
Instead of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So this thing has been going and going and going. Now, what happened was about 3 or 4 years ago, I would say 4 years ago, when the boys were little and dropping all of that food on the floor and
my
everything.
My God, Cheerios everywhere.
I was vacuuming every day because we have hardwood and low pile area rugs. And I wanted something that would be easy, that I didn't have to pull out the full size vacuum. So I got a stick vacuum. I got the upright vacuum. All right. And that's the first one
it's
that I'm going to recommend.
It's the Electrolux Ergo Rapido. Did you say Ergo Rapido?
Yes.
It's the Electrolux Ergo Rapido 2-in-1 stick and handheld vacuum. $110, cordless. Now, we have owned this one for how many years?
It worked extremely well. For 3 years.
Now, you know, some people out there might say only 3 years, and then other people might say, okay, 3 years, $110, I'll
right.
take it.
Well,
30
that's
bucks
my point,
a year, 35
if,
bucks a year.
If you have a small budget, like, you know, then you can spend $100. Yeah, it's not going to last forever. But I use that every single day.
With three boys, used and abused.
If you put it out in your RV, it's not going to be used every single day of the year.
That's a
so
good point.
So you might get a longer shelf life out of
that's
it.
That's a great point. So we're not saying this is a great vacuum necessarily for home, but it really might be a great choice for your rig for a smaller space.
You keep saying it's not a great one. I actually love this. And to be honest, I like it in some ways that I'll explain more than the more expensive ones.
Because of its practicality or how easy it is to use and get into small spaces?
Yeah, no. So the thing that I liked about it is, first of all, it has a nice base that it stands up on. So it's really easy to just place right onto that base and charge. And it's cordless. Second of all,
slim profile too,
the
right?
The 2-in-1 is it has a dust buster that actually clips into the front. And that is my favorite feature. I like it more even than the attachments on other stick vacuums. I love a good dust buster, and they're really hard to find these days. Like,
what's up with that?
They don't make them like they used to.
I swear, I remember going over to my grandparents' house, and that dust buster could like vacuum up the beach.
Oh, yeah. You could put that dust buster like the crack, you know, like under your refrigerator, and things just come like pouring out.
It would suck the refrigerator right up to
know.
It. And yeah, now it's, you're so right. It's hard to find a good cheap handheld, well, not even cheap. It's just hard to find a good handheld vacuum.
So I really like that. And for 3 years, I happily used it. What happened was I was about to bring that out to the RV last year. That was my big idea. Was I was like, okay, I could use something new in the house. We have a bigger like floor area now. So I was like, I'll upgrade, get something, another stick vacuum. I'll bring that out into the RV. That's when it stopped suctioning. So I didn't get to use it out in the RV like I would have, but I really do think it's a great RV product.
I would
product.
Think you could maybe get 10 years out of it in the RV
if
we got
not.
3 years of everyday use out of it in our home.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that the reviews on Amazon generally show my experience. They line up perfectly with the experience that it works really well for a limited amount of time. And a lot of people did have that like sort of 3-year, I feel like, lifespan.
Now, can you get anything much cheaper than this? I mean, can you go to a lower price point
$100.
Than this? Or are you just getting junk at that point?
No, $100 is $100. You know, it's a stick vacuum. It's a cordless stick vacuum. If you go on, I don't know what you can get under $100, but I don't think it's worth spending it. So,
okay, now if you want to step up, did you say everything you wanted to say about that?
You know
that
what
one?
I also wanted to say? I like the colors.
I do too. I do too.
Yeah, it was orange. Mine was like
a
orange.
It's a stylish looking vacuum.
Yeah, like it was just kind of a fun look to it. In an RV, it's harder to hide things, so it's kind of
nice. Most RVs are brown, this one will match.
It had a little pop to it, you know.
Now, if you want to step up, you could go to the Shark Rocket Ultralight. It sounds like an RV. The Shark Rocket Ultralight Upright Vacuum for $229, and it's corded.
Okay, yeah. So that's, you're going to go up and you're going to get a lot more suction out of this Shark, but you're going to have a corded vacuum, okay? So that, you have to decide whether you are really bent on having a cordless vacuum in your RV or whether you're okay with having a corded vacuum. Now, this is where things get a little funny. So I decided I had to get the RV vacuum this year. I went on our forums. I was all around saying, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? Everybody loves the most expensive option, and we all know what the most expensive option is in the vacuum world. You know, it's the Dyson, okay? So, but that just wasn't in our price point. You know, I was just like, I'm not spending $500 on an RV vacuum. I have a vacuum that's 15 years old in my home. Like, I'm not putting that out in my RV. So that wasn't, you know, I just couldn't swing it. So I decided to look at the Shark Rocket, which a lot of people really do recommend as the budget option for the Dyson. All right. It has good suction. And yes, I agree. I went ahead and I bought it. All right. I have it. Some of the reviews said it was noisy. And I kind of laughed at that.
Vacuum.
I was like, what?
People want quiet vacuums.
So, but here's the thing is I actually do think it's noisier than the other two that I have.
I never noticed that. I think there's just so much noise in the house. Like I would never...
I laughed at the review, but then when I used it, I was like, yeah, this is a little bit louder, I feel like, than
like
my other vacuums.
Like abrasively loud.
Yeah, so it did have a little bit of a noise issue there. Now, other people said that it was a little bit bulky with the cord. And I agree. It would be nice if the cord like just wrapped up a little easier. It does kind of feel a little – it feels like a little old fashioned. It doesn't feel sleek, you know? It feels like a little
bulky.
You don't
get sleek for $229,
I guess not. So now, Karen – on the forum, just got one of these also. And she said that she was fairly happy with it so far, but she said she found it some pretty lightweight. And I had a laugh and I said, I don't know if I have just like weak wrists. Like, I thought it was a little heavy because it's very top heavy.
Karen, you strong wristed woman.
No, she's very strong wristed. The canister at the top, I found to be heavy so that if I did a huge amount of space. Now, the RV is not big enough that I guess you would get sore wrist. But I
would hope not.
My wrist was sore after using it in most of our home. All right. So, however, of course, when I used it on the RV, the wrist isn't sore. I'm not doing as much of a space.
I love vacuuming the RV because it takes like
it's awesome.
3 minutes.
Well, you feel so accomplished cleaning the RV.
I love cleaning the RV.
I know, because you get it done and you're like, oh, everything's done. How nice is that?
All right, so what else do you want to say about the Shark Rocket Ultralight, which again could be an RV?
Okay, right. So I think that those things that the review said are true. I find it a little loud. I find it a little bulky and I find it a little heavy. However, if you want a high functioning and long lasting.
You're feeling the long lasting because we haven't owned it that long, but your other reviews, other people say
yes,
this is a long lasting.
Absolutely. And I have friends too that have had this was like, I bought this after quite a lot of research. And I have a few friends that have had this Shark for years.
Now, do you feel sad
and
for them because it's not as stylish as a Dyson?
No, I don't feel sad for anybody with a Shark vacuum.
I'm just teasing.
I have a 15-year-old vacuum.
I really like this vacuum, actually. The one time I used it, it worked. It was great.
Oh, you were happy with that? Yeah, great.
So, I didn't notice how loud it was either.
So this is the funny thing. So I had decided that a Dyson was out of my price range. I wasn't going to get one. I couldn't do it. I'll go for the Shark. So I go ahead and I order the Shark. Well, I happened to receive an email from Dyson, and I was, they said, they're doing a, what is it, hashtag clean everywhere campaign with Dyson. Could we send you a Dyson? Yes, you can send me a Dyson.
This is the whole reason we got into podcasting, folks. We've been working towards getting a free Dyson for almost 100 episodes.
I couldn't even believe it. It showed up. We were both like, there's a Dyson here.
We were like, we have arrived.
I said, I will vacuum up the Michigan sand dunes if you want me to. You want to send me a Dyson?
Dyson sees, I think, the RV world as a market.
Yes, I think that that's true.
They're sophisticated enough to know that people will. And I know a lot of our listeners are saying, no way. But, you know, there's plenty of people out there, too. And motorhome owners, there's plenty of people that wouldn't blink at buying this product.
No, yeah, don't say a lot of our listeners, because guess who recommended this to me over and over again? A lot of our listeners.
Right.
When I was looking, we have many posts on the forum from our listeners that said, yes, the Dyson's expensive, but it's worth it.
But these are people who are, it's their home vacuum that they just carry out into the RV, right?
Okay, I don't know. Okay. And I'm not going to judge that. But that's what I would say. That was the funny thing for us, is we were like, okay, we have this vacuum. And yes, this is the best vacuum we own now out of now. There are 4 vacuums in this house now. It's ridiculous.
We can use all of them.
So the last thing that I'm going to do is keep the most expensive, nice one of those out in the RV and never use it in my home. So we'll see what we do. We haven't quite decided if the shark's just going to stay in the RV.
But you did test out the Dyson in the RV.
Yeah, so we brought it.
How did that work out in the RV?
So I brought it down with us the whole time we were in Charleston. I think we've been on 2 trips with it so far. And I'm going to be honest, I love it. It is better.
And the design is profoundly better.
It is. Okay, so it's cord-free, first of all, which is very nice. Second of all, I want to say that I was sent the Absolute model, but there are 4 different models for the Dyson V6, all right? And they range from $300 to $529.
Is one of them called the Animal?
Yeah, it's the V6 Animal, because it's specifically for people with animals.
I thought they were just saying
No, it's not an animal.
Awesome.
No, for pet hair. Okay.
Okay.
So this is with the Absolute model, the suction is definitely better than the Shark. Okay. It is also lighter and less noisy, significantly. So that was nice. It has 20 minutes of runtime. They all do, but this doesn't have a cord. Now, the Absolute came with a ton of attachments, but I found that I only needed to bring 2. Into the RV.
The entire RV.
Yeah, I feel like if you use the roller cleaner head, is great for the hard, the linoleum surface of the floor. And then there's a mini motorized tool that did awesome on all of the couch, the dinette, the crevices. I would not bring anything else. So that means I could just have the 2 pieces and feel like the whole RV could be vacuumed from top to bottom very easily.
But let's be honest, it's been important to you in this past, year or so, that we don't want to be bringing everything out into the RV because we are traveling so much. We want one of everything in the RV. So just being honest, don't you think that it's going to end up like the Shark is going to be the RV vacuum and the Dyson's going to be the house vacuum?
I think that that's in my head what I want to do, but then I think I'm so attached right now to how ergo dynamic the Dyson is that I'm going to be like, oh, I want it. We'll see. I think the Shark's going to go.
I think if you travel with a Dyson vacuum in your RV, you actually get better gas mileage because it's so sweet and sophisticated.
Is that what you think? Sleek.
Yeah. Okay. It is amazing. You look at it, this is an amazing product. And I'm not saying you want to spend this kind of money on this product, but the price makes sense.
Okay, that is, I would say that if you have the budget to splurge on a nice RV vacuum, the difference in the Dyson is clear.
And I'm thinking for people traveling with dogs in the RV that it might really be worth it to get this Animal one if indeed it does a better job on pet hair.
I have to say, though, a piece of me still really loves the Electrolux Ergo Rapido because I used it for years and it worked great. And I love the detachable, the dustbuster. It's not a Dyson. But at the same time,
it's $400 less.
It's $100. Get a coupon, you know?
Yeah, when you compare the low price point one to the high price point one, the price seems radically different.
Yeah.
When you put that shark one in the middle, you seem like you're getting close to the Dyson anyway.
Yeah. I think that I would have stuck with the shark had I not been sent a Dyson. But I'm going to have trouble not having the Dyson in the RV.
How did the Dyson do on Maggie's pet hair?
That's what I'm saying. The mini motorized tool that attaches to the handheld part and goes over the couch, it just picks her fur right
up. I need to take it out to my truck then.
Yeah, you know, you do.
Because her dog hair is all over my truck.
And that's another thing about the Dyson is the top, the detachable top with all the attachments to it, perfect for your car also, the truck too.
So when you're on a trip,
you just bring it right out there and you do your truck also. It's nice. It is.
Right.
I would, if it's in your budget, there's a reason why everybody loves it.
You know, mom's out there listening. It might be a great gift for dad on Father's Day.
That's great. Turn the appliance thing around on us. I love it. Stop getting the women the
that
blenders.
That was a funny video. That viral video you showed me where the woman's like, don't get me an appliance for Mother's Day. I can get that at any time.
I can buy myself a blender
I don't
at any
need
time.
You to it's, do it as like something
it's not
special.
A gift.
My
it's
mother
not a gift.
Told me that my dad one time for Mother's Day bought her a record player. And my father had a big record collection and loved records, and my mom, did not care.
Couldn't have cared less.
Yeah. She got a new record player.
I always accused you of doing that with your tickets. You always got me concert tickets. And I was like, you want to go to this concert?
Oh, you love a good concert. Stop it.
It was mutually beneficial. That's what I would have to say. All right. So there's my vacuum reviews. Those are three. I recommend all of them. Those are three.
That's great that you really found one in each price point that you could recommend people buying that's good. I think that's hard to do. You know, if you look at a lot of different types of products to find the low end, the middle, and the high and say that they're all good.
All right. Well, we did it. We vacuumed. We've had good luck with vacuums so far. So hopefully this Dyson and the Shark will last us a good long time.
Head over to the forum and let us know what you buy or what you're using already.
I'll link in the show notes to that forum thread on the RV vacuums if you want to add anything or if you want to see other people's recommendations.
Yeah, and hashtag your RV vacuuming photos on Instagram with RVFTA vacuum.
Don't use that.
We'll get a gallery going of our listeners vacuuming their RVs.
All right, we'll be right back to wrap up the show. If you've been dreaming about RVing but aren't quite sure where to start, RV Trader can help you find the right RV for you and your family.
Check out their blog, which has helpful articles on new units entering the market, travel tips, events, and other helpful resources.
Also, icons on the homepage will help you search for towable units or motorhomes, and you can select a specific manufacturer or price range to narrow your results and find RVs near you.
And lastly, if you're looking to sell your current RV or trade it up for another one, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Add photos, a description, and contact info, and buyers will contact you directly for more information.
RV Trader has everything you need to find or sell your RV.
To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com.
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us for another episode of RVFTA, where we talked about unplugging teens and tweens for RV travel. Thank you especially to our dear guest, Carrie Cox. We appreciate your input into this whole RV travel thing so much.
Yeah, and we want to thank Progressive Insurance for sponsoring the show. And we have decided this is a great time to tell you to save the date for the New Jersey Festival of Ballooning in White House Station, New Jersey, because we're going to be there.
Yay!
So come see us at the Progressive RV. We are going to be hanging at the Progressive RV all weekend. The Progressive RV is a complete hootenanny. It's absolutely going to be totally fun. So come by to meet us.
July 29th through the 31st.
Yeah, at the Soderberg Airport, correct?
Yeah.
And you can check out the balloons, the entertainment. There's live music. There's prizes. There's food. And RVFTA is going to be there in person. We'll sign your books. We'll say hello. We'll give you advice on what rig to buy and where to camp. We'll talk to you about RVing.
All right. You can go to balloonfestival.com for more information.
And I'm really pumped to do some photography at the Balloon
are.
Festival. Like, it's just like such a great package for
sunrise.
Me. And to go hang out at the Progressive RV and do some sunrise photos of the balloons. I'm really pumped to take my wide angle lens out for that one.
All right. So if you can come and meet us up in North Jersey at that, put it on your calendars now, July 29th through the 31st.
And if you want to meet me for some photography really early in the morning, if you get up,
we'll
we could do that.
All that up. You okay. Stay tuned for more details, folks. All right.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. See you at the campground.